In this week's episode of Strum and Drum, we talk about how to find time to practice more. By the end of this episode, you're going to know how to find the best time to practice for you, how to establish the right amount of time to practice, and also how to learn to make a bigger commitment so you'll build the habit and get it done. Cool. But first, a jingle.
Of course.
What an episode would be without a jingle. 'Cause there's one thing we do as well as music education, it's jingles. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, you can get in contact with us if you like to jingle for your company or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or your social club, anything.
The only condition we have is Strum and Drum has to be all the words of the jingle.
We can't sing with any of the lyrics, yeah. Unfortunately.
Don't know if we'll get much uptake, but still.
See where it goes.
Yeah.
So anyway, number one. Establish the best time. So we're talking about carving out more time in your day. Establishing the best time is key for this to work. Now myself and Dave as teachers have tons of experience in talking to people about setting out new habits. And the one thing that would catch them out is that they forget to observe how their days work or what kind of energy levels they have throughout the day. Just from my own point of view, when I was a teenager, I used to get slumpy after dinner time. So after eating was a tricky time for me. I just, whatever, teenage thing going on. I just get tired after eating.
Yeah.
And generally, there was no phones back in those days, so I just go and lie down. But what I was doing for ages was I was trying to eat my dinner and then go practice the drums. And it was just like not happening at all. Like, I'd have no energy, and I'd end up just getting PO'd with the whole drumming thing. Nothing to do with drumming or my enthusiasm for it or anything else, just not really paying attention to how the rhythm of my day was. So that would be my tip there, would be if you're a morning person, you're not afraid of going to bed a little bit early, getting up early, then practice in the morning. Maybe that doesn't suit you at all. Maybe you like just getting in from school, throwing the bag in the corner and doing your 15 minutes then. I would say 15 minutes a day is good amount of time to practice.
I think, yeah.
For the majority of people.
I feel the same. It's a good gateway. And then if you want to do more, you've done your 15, and to focus on the core essentials. There's a difference between, as we said before in another episode, between noodle time and practice time.
Yeah. Very important.
And the thing about everybody, they have different routines. So as an example, what you said there about dinner, for me, I used to be so bad for drinking Coke. Like, so bad. And I used to drink Coke with my dinner.
So shout out to Coke.
If you want a jingle, get in touch. We might get the Christmas one. Anyways, so the thing was, like, as we're saying here, I did loads of practice after dinner because I'd be like jacked up on fizzy drinks.
Wow.
And yeah, I know, not too good. And I even remember talking with some musicians who talked about practicing after they come in after a gig at night. And it goes
wow.
to... Yeah, I know. It goes to
Who
show...
Who does that?
I'll tell you again.
Class.
But it's amazing. It didn't surprise me, though.
Okay.
When I was told. So, establish the best time to do it for you. This doesn't mean that you could sit down... Like, logically, you could sit down with a pen and paper and go, ah, yeah, I'm a night person. It's definitely night time. It's definitely a case of going through your week and figuring out what's best for you.
Exactly, and trying things on.
Yeah.
Like, because depends as well if it's your school year or if it's your summertime and all that stuff. Like, you might have a completely different routine.
Oh, man, yeah.
You need to. So the most important thing, going back to it again, is even if it's the most simple journal on the planet, done in bullet point, one word, whatever, reflections of the day, it's just trying to keep an eye on what's happening. That is the quickest way to mastering your time and mastering your practice schedule and all that stuff, is journaling. And that'd be how I'd be recommended to do it.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, establish the best time. That's number one. Number two is establish the right amount of time. So you could end up going, yeah, now I found out morning time is the best. But check in with your lifestyle. Are you, if you're an adult, are you going around, like, maybe you have an appointment where you need to be someplace to play a gig on a Saturday, every Saturday, and maybe you'd be tired after the drive on a Sunday, so maybe Sunday isn't your best day to practice. So check in with when is the right amount of time for you to do it as well.
Yeah. And I would say, we talked about in another podcast as well about the compound effect. I would say 15 minutes per day trumps an hour and a half on a Sunday any time. And especially for kids out there, the 15 minutes that we're talking about would just be check your WhatsApp, check your Instagram, check your Facebook, send an email. Oh, I don't know, people, young people send in emails. You know, watch a couple of Vines or whatever on YouTube, and 15 minutes is gone. It's gone. Whereas you could have had your practice done and do that afterwards. But it's just the conundrum of our time is how to manage that phone. So was Dave actually recommended this app called Moment to me, which logs all your time on the phone, and it tells you what apps you've been on for the longest and what time, you know, how much time per day you're spending on your phone. I think myself, without doing that, is codding yourself. You need to know, because 15 minutes is actually easy to find once you realize that Clash of Clans is taking up 4 hours and 35 minutes of your day.
And your cards are still clashing.
Yeah.
Sorry, just had to say that. Thank you. Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
And we all, like, I use the example with the kids I teach about school. I said, do you have some subjects that time flies by? And most of them say art. But when you think about art, it's because they're probably in a flow state, just, like, artistically doing things.
Or just talking to their friends. Not doing art. That's from my experience.
And then it gets to another subject, and it seems like the time is just expanded. So being clear on what to do within that time as well. And that's why, if it's a week where you're on a certain thing, like on guitar, maybe to get over the bar chords hurl, as I call it, spending more time that week on bar chords can be better than doing the easier stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The same, like on the drums, I would say that a lot of the time what happens is you won't realize the progress you've made until you get to the end of the month. So as well, the journal, even if you can keep like a vlog, even if it's only for yourself, this is what I'm able to play on the 1st of June, and this is what I'm able to play on the 1st of July. And tracking speeds and stuff like that is very good to give yourself goals. But again, I'd say the compound effect, like 15 minutes a day just trains the hands rather than trying to do an hour and a half on a Sunday, because it'll be just stagnation all week and then a big burst on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And all you'll get is stiffness and pain usually. Whereas 15 minutes a day will sort you right out. So that would be my advice, and establish the right amount of time. But everybody knows himself, I think we were both into like multiple hours when we were teenagers.
Yeah. Well, and I was looking back lately, and it is easy to connect the dots looking back. It was Steve Jobs who said that before. And all that was only a 3-year period of intense practice, 2000 to 2003.
All right.
Then I went into TY, and you know the way it is with TY, you're so productive. that was the year I stopped practicing. But all of a sudden, I was like, hold on, all that speed and like the progress in a 3-year burst was insane.
Yeah.
And it would be like, I've chatted with other students, like we both taught students who in TY, they've just excelled. Like, they took up their instrument and just got into it.
Yeah.
And again, they leave school and they go into a college system or something where, and being an adult, more things come around. So it ends up that you've less time, but the seeds were sown in those 3 years.
Or, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So number three.
Number three. Commit.
Yeah.
Commit to it.
Don't burn the boats, but commit.
Do you want to elaborate on that one?
Yeah, sure. So the difference between sitting down and going, do you know what, I decided to start practicing and I'm going to, yeah, I'll do around 15 minutes a day now because I know it's good and it helped me before. I'm not even convinced myself with those statements. But if you sit down and go, I'm committed to doing 15 minutes a day, I figured out when my best time is. For me, on a Tuesday to a Thursday, it's 9 a.m. Maybe on a Friday, it is 9 p.m. Set the times, set the numbers, use definite language patterns. When you do, like remove ams and maybes. When you do, it's a lot more definite for you. And ask yourself, how will I know when I've committed to this? And how do I know this is a true decision? Not just a statement of, I'll practice because that's what I'm meant to say because I'm on an instrument and it's good to improve.
Yeah, exactly. Taking what your teacher says of like, go home now and practice every 15 minutes.
Mm.
And the one that you hear the most, that I hear the most is, yeah, I must do that now. I must do that now. Or I'll do that now. Must get into that habit now one of the days. Or I'll have to start is another great one.
Yeah.
I'll have to start doesn't really commit you to anything. A really good way to do it and is kind of on a professional level, these things are called mastermind groups. Mm. But when you're in school and you're surrounded by your peers, I love that poem that it's Marianne Williamson, the Nelson Mandela one. What's it go like?
Never heard.
Oh, I do it with the kids in school. Anyways, cannot come to mind. But anyway, it basically says like, once you step up and do your thing, that you kind of pave the way for others to do it. And oftentimes we can put emphasis on negative stuff, or it's easier to get attention for negative stuff. So I use the analogy in my classroom of Joe Canning. If he goes up to collect the Lee McCarthy Cup, walks up the steps of the Hogan stand and lifts up the cup, all the pictures are taken of him lifting up the cup.
Mm.
And everybody gets used to that image, and everybody gets used to him as being the captain of Galway who lifts up the Lee McCarthy Cup, and he gets attention for that. But what they don't see is everything that led up to that moment. Yet, if Joe Canning never played hurling in his life, somehow managed to get up the steps of the Hogan stand, went up and kicked Michael D in the leg, he would probably get the same amount of notoriety for it.
Yeah.
He'd be just as well known for it, for such little energy. So something that won't take you much energy at all can get you loads of attention. Right, so when especially in secondary school and places like that, it takes a lot of bravery to say, look, you stand out with the lads at lunchtime or the girls at lunchtime and say, I'm going to practice the guitar for 20 minutes every day for the next 3 weeks. Will you hold me to it? Or I'll check in with you. I'll go on Snapchat you or whatever when I'm starting my practice session. And accountability is a massive thing. So I'd say when it gets into the second week and I don't know if Champions League is on or something, you want to watch it and you're not going to practice, you might get your pal Snapchatting you, oh, you're going to practice now, are you going to stick to it now? And it might force you just over the line. So accountability, or what's called masterminding, is another brilliant way to stay motivated. And as well as that, I suppose, pave the way for maybe you and some of your mates to start a new course for yourselves and not just be the kind of people that fall in and say, I want to be a guitar player and this will be me and I'm going to tell everyone about it and I'm going to be accountable for it, rather than just trying to hide your talents, hide your skills and just, you know, be the casual moper or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to stand out and let your light shine, for want of a better term. I would say anyway, that's a lot of the advice that I'd be giving to my kids in primary school going forward anyway, because I think it's very important. All it takes is one person to set a positive mindset within their group, you know.
Did you ever see that one, Be a Leader? Or How a Leadership Starts. It's a YouTube video of a guy at a festival and it's the middle of the day and he's dancing, and he starts dancing and people are looking at him, and next thing it's all narrated, so next thing he's one follower, another person who dances with them.
Class.
And all of a sudden this goes on until there's like 50 or 60 people dancing. You can't even see the guy that started it. And that's the thing about norms. You could start, like if you're a kid, committing to it and being held accountable is super duper important.
Yeah.
Even WhatsApp. I know kids would be more on Snapchat than WhatsApp, but just that simple act, or if you're competitively driven, having a leaderboard, that's huge.
Yeah.
That can work really well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But our greatest fear is the name of that poem.
So okay,
just
right.
Just came to mind there now.
Check that out.
Oh, super duper stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But it's exactly like you're talking about, like how to be a leader and how to not be afraid of stepping up. And I suppose definitely in my life so far, one of the most tricky times was that teenage time, like where people are just afraid to move because all you want to do is fit in really at that time, you know?
Yeah, for me it was, I remember wanting to be a like rock star, quote unquote, back in the day. And it was, I used to practice loads, but I never own. I knew I was very capable at guitar, but if somebody came along and goes, oh, geez, you're all right. Yeah. I kind of shrug it off and go, ah, yeah, sure, it's a bit of fun or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so kids, if you're practicing and you're pretty capable at guitar, accept compliments. That's super important.
Exactly. Sign of maturity.
Yeah. So those are the three main tips we have on how to find time to make, how to find time to practice more effectively.
Yep. That is it. We are done.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it there. So if you're liking these podcasts, pop a comment below. How do you find time to practice, or what have you done in the past? What have been your pitfalls? We'd love to hear, because we want to start tailoring more content in order for what you want to do as well as what you're doing with music.
Absolutely.
So thanks for watching. We'll catch you very soon.
See you later.